This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. And Entergy, the electric company, made some news yesterday as they floated the idea of either selling Entergy New Orleans or maybe merging with another company. Today, as a matter of fact, the New Orleans City Council is going to be grilling Entergy. That's set to happen today at City Council Chambers. You know, Entergy has taken a lot of heat because of Hurricane Ida, with so much damage done. And as we talked about yesterday on the show, after the hurricane came through, we saw all the damage and we saw a bunch of Entergy towers on the ground, and those towers were rusted. And people say that Entergy knew that those towers had been rusted, and they were rusting for years, and didn't do anything about it. And they make $11 billion a year, Entergy. And I know our city council president of the New Orleans City Council, Helena Moreno. Wait a minute. Let me not sound like a gringo when I say that. Helena Moreno. She has been focusing on Entergy and isn't happy with them. And there are the Entergy, they're taking a lot of heat for not only their faulty equipment going down during Hurricane Ida and keeping almost a million people without power for a while, but they have a new $200 million plant that is supposed to fire things up when the power goes out, and that didn't work, and it's brand new, and that didn't work after Hurricane Ida. So what a lot of insiders are saying is that the reason why Entergy made news yesterday floating the idea of either selling Entergy New Orleans or merging, and they could merge with them with another entity of Entergy as well. The insiders are saying they're doing this because they don't want to have to be underneath the New Orleans City Council anymore. Because right now, Entergy New Orleans has to answer to the New Orleans City Council. And the insiders are saying that they made this announcement about selling or merging because they just don't want to, they don't want that anymore. They don't want to, they, they want more friendly regulators being in charge of them. They want more friendly regulators to deal with.
Could you blame Entergy for that?
Well, today is going to be a poop show at the New Orleans City Council chambers in City Hall, the idiot box in New Orleans. The City Council, that's all you're going to see on local news tonight is the New Orleans City Council just going after Entergy today.
Do you think they're doing it to pander to those who are frustrated about not having their power back at an adequate time? Because it seems like you can't control the weather. You can't control an act of God. All right. They say that some of the equipment was faulty. Now, the rust thing, somebody made the argument that, look, the surface rust is different from actual rusting inside, just like our G&O bridge is kind of rusted. But cars still go over that bridge every day. Nothing really happens. And if it was that bad, if it was internal rust, it would have been fixed. And as far as that $200 million thing that was supposed to pop up, all right, maybe it was faulty engineering and they probably looking into why that didn't work. But it seems like Entergy is trying their best to get power on as quick as possible because they want business as well. They don't want to disappoint people. It's not like they're being negligent. They're trying their best, but they're still getting bitched at. And it makes me wonder, is it just human nature to point the blame at stuff even when it's beyond control, whether it's a natural disaster, a tornado, earthquake, hurricane? If something bad happens, is it just our human nature to try to blame somebody for something?
Sure.
Because of the frustration of, you know, the disaster coming through, whether it's Entergy's fault or not, we just have to point the blame to another human being. That's what it seems like. We just got to bitch at somebody to get that vitriol and that frustration out.
Yeah, well, obviously a hurricane came through. The electricity went out, and it went out for a while. And the New Orleans City Council, they want answers.
All right. And so Entergy should just give them the answer, like, hey, we're trying. But it would be cool if City Council, they want the answers, but they handled it professionally instead of grilling them. Because I think that's what they want. The City Council wants to show that they're going to be tough on Entergy when they should just really ask, like, Entergy, explain what's going on and just give Entergy a fair chance to try to explain what happened with their faulty equipment or how power isn't coming back at the time that the people would like. Just give them the chance to explain it instead of going there with the whole grill face on, like, yeah, we're going to get all up in their ass when they get in the city council. It's just the attitude going into it. It just seems like they just need that as a deflection.
Well, that's going to happen today, again, inside the New Orleans City Council chambers at the Idiot Box City Hall. That's going to be something today when the New Orleans City Council members grill Entergy. So, but yesterday, Entergy, the corporation, Entergy Corporation, they put the possibility of a sale of Entergy New Orleans or a merger of Entergy New Orleans on the table. And they did that the night before the city council meeting. And like I said, people who are familiar with this situation are saying the reason Entergy said that yesterday is they don't want to be governed by the New Orleans City Council anymore. They don't want the New Orleans City Council to be their bosses anymore.
Yeah, they want them to get off their backs. They're trying to work. Get off my back.
They want regulators. They want to answer to people that are, I guess, more friendly to them. So we'll see what happens today at the city council meeting, and we'll see what they say about this. But I think something new that we've been hearing recently is that they recently finished a $200 million station that is supposed to get things going, or that's at least supposed to go on when the power goes out, and that didn't happen. And it's pretty much a new $200 million facility. But again, you're talking about Entergy, a company, a corporation that makes $11 billion a year, and we will we'll see what happens today at the when they have to answer the questions and deal with the New Orleans City Council. I'll tell you, the New Orleans City Council president, she's a very attractive woman, extremely easy on the eyes. Elena Medina. And I may disagree with her on a lot of things politically, but I'm a fan. I enjoy it when she's in the news on my television. When man, she looks great. She really does. I don't think I've ever been this attracted to a president of the city council before. I don't think I've ever felt this way about a city council president, a sitting city council president.
None at all.
Mm. She's something. All right, we got a lot to do on the show today. Did you see that fire on the roof of the Caesars Superdome yesterday? You know, as hot as the Saints have been in the last decade, they never did that. They were never that hot. Even when they won the Super Bowl. Stay tuned for that. And we got a lot of stuff we got to talk about here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. So we've seen here in New Orleans and in other cities in the United States, we've seen where you can't get into a restaurant or a bar if you're not wearing a mask over your mouth. And this is all because of the Delta variant with COVID. You know, it looked like we as an area and we as a country had the whole damn coronavirus in our rearview mirror. And then all of a sudden, this thing that they call the Delta variant of it came around and the numbers started rising again. And hospitals started filling up again. And so to combat that, authorities laid out a pretty tough rule saying in certain places, and I'm sitting in one of them, New Orleans, you can't go into a bar or a restaurant without a mask on. And I don't know how much longer that's going to last, but it's made life a bit rougher around here because some of the places that I go to eat, I can't go and eat there. They're either closed or they have shut their dining room down. They have closed. Like, I love Raising Cane's.
Yeah, you just discovered that this year, didn't you?
Well, no. I mean, I've had Raising Cane's before, but I've always, I mean, I love Popeyes, and I do love KFC. And so there were other chicken places, Coleman, that I would always think of first. And then there was a Raising Cane's not that far from where I live in New Orleans. And I started going over there, and man, I love their chicken. And so lately I've been choosing Raising Cane's over Popeyes and over some other places. Well, that came to an end because that Raising Cane's that I love to go to, their dining room has been closed since it was demanded that every bar and every restaurant we go into here in New Orleans, we have to wear a mask. They don't want to deal with that, so they just closed down the dining room and only their drive-thru is open. And I've been in between cars for a while, and I'm not one of those people that walk up to a drive-thru. I've seen people do that, but usually you need a car. That's why it's named drive-thru.
Ah, you should just order an Uber and see if the Uber would take you through the drive-thru of the Raising Cane's.
Well, I would have to do it that way because there's a sign on the door at Raising Cane's that says the dining room is closed and there is no takeout either. You can't come into the dining room and order takeout and leave. The only way to get Raising Cane's recently at my Raising Cane's is through a drive-thru, the drive-thru that they have. And I don't, like I said, I've been in between cars for a while. If I was going to get, and I've used Uber Eats before, but I don't know if I'd be able to do it because when you do Uber Eats, you have to tell them your exact order. And then they go to the restaurant, pick it up, and bring it to your house. I'm unable to do that with this Raising Cane's. It's not like you can call Uber Eats on the phone and say, hey, could you drive through the drive-through and get me a Caniac? You really can't do that. Well, anyways, so it stinks around here, and I can't wait until this rule is over with, because it's really hindered the places that I go and the places where I eat. It stinks. Well, with that going on, the other day, a couple got kicked out of a restaurant in Texas because they were wearing masks. The restaurant, and they had signs that said no masks. We do not want to see a mask on anybody inside of this restaurant. And a woman named Natalie and her husband were waiting for their appetizer to arrive when their server came to their table and she didn't have their appetizer. She didn't have the fried jalapenos. She had an ultimatum. She said, take your masks off now or get out. And they the couple says that the owner of the restaurant kicked them out because they were wearing their masks to protect their newborn son. I don't know if the masks protect the newborn son. I don't know. So they were told either take your masks off or get out. And they have a 4-month-old son. But the thing that was interesting, they didn't bring the 4-month-old son into the restaurant.
That's even stranger.
They left their 4-month-old son with his maternal grandmother, and they went to hang. They went to get something to eat at Hang Time Sports Grill and Bar in Rowlett, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. And it was a rare night out for them since they have a four-month-old. It's not like they get out a lot. Their plan was to have dinner, a couple of drinks, catch up with friends they hadn't seen in a while, and then call it a night. Instead, they got kicked out of the Hang Time Sports Grill and Bar because they chose to wear masks. And by the way, their four-month-old son has cystic fibrosis, and he's immune. He's immunocompromised. The restaurant there bans customers from wearing masks as part of its dress code. That's their dress code. Like, you have to wear pants, you have to wear a shirt, you have to wear shoes, and you cannot wear a mask.
You know, as a libertarian, I do believe that a business has a right to enforce any rules it wants, especially when it comes to like entry. Hey, you can't come in unless this, that, and other. But I do think it's very, very unfortunate that the restaurant believes in this issue so strongly that it's willing to turn down money. You know, I get why you may not want to have a person barefoot at your restaurant. But if they're just wearing a mask and they're going to order and they're going to spend money, it just sucks that people are like that, where they believe in something so, you know, so the stance is so hard on it, where they're not willing to make any exceptions in there. They're like, I don't even want your service. They want to stay safe. I get it. You might not agree or disagree with the mask wearing thing, but it's just unfortunate that people think that strongly about stuff to where they would pass up money and ruin a couple's date night and all that.
Yeah, they were literally kicked out of a restaurant in a Dallas suburb because they wore masks and they wouldn't take them off. That's not written anywhere. There are no signs. But that's just part of their dress code. People come in with masks. The servers will tell them, look, take off the mask.
But they should have a sign before they walk in. Hey, we don't. Please take off your mask. It's like no shirt, no shoes, no service. They should have a sign saying if you have a mask, don't come in. That way, the couple would have known ahead of time. Unless there were a sign and they ignored it.
Yeah, no signs there. They like every other customer who goes in there, is if they're wearing a mask, are told remove the mask. And if they don't remove the mask, they are removed from the restaurant.
I'd have took that money. That's unfortunate. Hey, you want a nice date night? You want to feel safe, even though I don't agree with it. Knock yourself out.
As a business owner, that's what you would have done?
Yeah, as a business owner, I would have allowed them to stay. I could use that money.
Because the guy that owns that restaurant, his name is Tom Blackmer, he said that's his right as someone who purchased and has invested in a private business.
And he's absolutely correct. He's absolutely correct. That is his right. Once again, it's just unfortunate. It just reminds me of the divisiveness of this.
But it's the exact opposite of what is happening here in New Orleans, where you can't even walk in the doors of a restaurant or a bar without wearing a mask, or they will kick you out.
Yeah, this is...
I never in my life thought we'd ever get to a point like this. Our country, the land of the free and the home of the brave.
It's just, once again, from both angles, it's just dumb on both sides to me. It's like we find excuse to fight each other these days.
Coming up on the show, did you see the fire yesterday on the roof of the Superdome? The Caesars Superdome in New Orleans. The roof caught on fire. And I didn't hear that song playing. The roof is on fire. I didn't hear that playing. There's not a whole lot of damage there, but it was something for people driving by yesterday afternoon. They were driving by on the highway and they saw the roof of the Superdome on fire. Jesus, what is happening? Again, not that much damage. We'll explain more coming up. Nothing that's scheduled, including Saints games in the Superdome, should be affected. But we'll talk about that. We got a lot to get to on the show today. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Today is Elephant Appreciation Day. Sadly, most elephants aren't appreciative. But today is Elephant Appreciation Day, so if you see an elephant, please take a moment to say thank you. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. I know that many people here in Louisiana, many men, are fishermen. A lot of fishermen in the sportsman's paradise. And every once in a while, I see a story about a fish that I think if you've ever fished before, you would say, wow. And I've got one about this fish in New Jersey that may have set a new world record, but it depends on how that fish is classified. A man in New Jersey recently reeled in a large tile fish that set a new state record. It was the biggest tile fish ever caught in New Jersey.
Well, if they know what it is, that should be the category, right?
Well, hold on here.
Okay.
Let me explain more, Coleman. Based on naming conventions for the fish, it may also be a new world record. A guy named George Hanekis, a New Jersey man, caught a 23-pound, 8-ounce gray tilefish. The fish measured 34 inches long, and it had a girth of 25 inches. So that tilefish is 34 by 25.
Okay.
The New Jersey Division of Fish and Wildlife has officially recognized that fish as a new state record. According to a post on their Facebook page, this fish, surpassed the previous state record by 4 ounces. So the fish has been confirmed as a New Jersey state record, but it might also qualify as a new world record. Why? Here's why. While the fish is referred to as a gray tilefish in New Jersey, other states recognize that exact same fish as a blue line tilefish. The International Game Fish Association also recognizes the fish as a blue line tilefish. So it all comes down to the name of the fish. And that's why they're still not sure is if this is a world record fish or not. Now, if you're a fisherman, you reel in a massive fish like this. Wouldn't it be nice to know sooner than later if you are a world record fisherman or not?
Yeah. But it should be easy. If the blue line fish is exactly the same as the gray whatever fish, they're the exact same species, they just call it different names, just look at both of the records of all the blue line records and all the gray records and see if there's one bigger than the other one. It shouldn't be that difficult to figure out if they're the same exact species, unless they use different measurements, like instead of using pounds, they use grams or something like that, or kilos or whatever the hell.
Yeah, you would think the fishing world wouldn't be so so confusing. You would think the guy caught this fish. It's a state record. Is it a world record or not? Well, what kind of fish is it? It's a gray tile fish. Now, you're sure it's a gray tile fish and not a blue tile fish? I mean, I'm looking at the picture. It looks gray.
Right. But red onions look purple. So just because it's called gray doesn't mean it's not a blue line. But if they're the same species, they should be able to figure it out. But I'm waiting for the best part of the story.
Coleman, it does not say here in my story if this massive tilefish was cut up and eaten.
Uh-oh. See?
All I see is a man from New Jersey standing there holding a massive fish. And you know, the reason I brought this story up on the show is because, I mean, if you're a fisherman and you catch a fish like that, you should know pretty soon if you're a world record fisherman or not. And now there's confusion over this because of the name of the fish. Is it a gray tile fish or is it a blue tile fish? Because if it's one, he has the world record. He's a world record fisherman. If it's the other, he's not a world record fisherman.
Well, if they're the same species but goes by different names, that means he's not the world record. Because if there's a blue line, if they categorize it as a gray fish, but the blue line is the exact same thing as the gray fish, but there's a blue line bigger than the gray fish, then he's not the world record holder. I don't know why it should be that difficult to figure out whether he had the world record or not if the blue line fish is the same exact species as the gray fish, just with a different name.
Well, it's a good question, but it shouldn't be like this. I mean, the guy pulls a mammoth fish out of the water. He's got the state record. Am I a world record fisherman, he's thinking, or not? Or am I just a state record?
He should know by the end of the day. I'm assuming he should know by the end of the day. Because how many records do they have on blue line fish? Is it that massive? How big the encyclopedia of the records of blue line and gray line fish or whatever the hell?
Well, whichever name they decide that this fish is, if it's the gray line fish, he's a world record fisherman. But if fish experts, fish authorities, if they say, well, no, it's not gray line, it's blue line, then he's not a world record fisherman. I'd be a little bit bothered by that if I were a fisherman. All right, coming up on the show, did you see the fire yesterday on the Superdome? On the roof. We'll bring that up coming up next. And we're fortunate that there wasn't very much damage outside of a burnt roof to the Caesar Superdome yesterday. Hang out with us. We still got a lot to get to on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Genesis there. They just started a tour, a big tour, Genesis. And their first show, Phil Collins was singing while sitting in a chair at the front center of the stage. I guess he's having some physical health issues, but they started the tour anyways. It's just Phil's not moving around like he normally does. You know, Genesis has to be, if not the most changed rock band, they're in the top few. They're at the top of the list. Because when they started out, Peter Gabriel was their singer, and they were a prog rock band. They were a progressive rock band. And then when Peter Gabriel left, they auditioned a bunch of singers, and they said, you know, our own drummer here can sing. And Phil Collins took over as their singer. And Phil Collins, that band is completely different with him singing. They sing more pop rock songs instead of what they used to do with Peter Gabriel. And boy, Phil Collins, while when he started singing for Genesis and writing their songs, he then wrote a bunch of other songs, and he had an incredible solo career going while he was the singer of Genesis. I mean, it's so hard for musicians to make it big. He made it big twice at the same time. Once as the singer of a big popular band, and then at the same time as a solo artist.
Is it safe to say that Phil doesn't need the money? Or is it because of those divorces he had, he probably needs the money? Because why would he prop himself up on stage if he's not healthy enough to perform like he used to?
Because he wants to do it, and there's a market for it, and if fans show up, why not do it? Yeah, the guy's absolutely loaded, and you're right, he has gone through some divorces. We talked about a story where one of his exes moved into one of his mansions in Miami Beach, Florida, changed the locks. And Phil Collins had to get the police involved and all kinds of things like that. He got that worked out. But they just started touring, but Phil Collins is singing while sitting in a chair.
Well, if he's doing it for the love, that's admirable. But if he's doing it for the money, man, hey.
John Osterlund here. Good morning. Since it's a little bit after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. Yesterday afternoon, the roof of the Superdome caught on fire. And the flames you could see from a good distance away. I bet you there were plenty of people who were driving on the highway, driving by the Superdome, and saw that and freaked a little bit.
I don't think they freaked. Everybody that I've seen on Facebook posting videos and pictures of it, they were joking about it. They were like, they just found the new Pope and stuff like that. Oh, that's Michael Thomas's contract.
Good lines, both of them.
Or they burnt the Caesar's pizza.
What happened was they were pressure cleaning, pressure washing the roof of the Caesar Superdome. And one of the pressure washers caught on fire.
The pressure washer, like a person caught on fire?
No. The machine.
Ah.
It ended up being a 3-alarm fire that broke out on the roof of the Caesar Superdome yesterday, a little after high noon, when a piece of power washing equipment caught fire, causing it to spread to a small corner of the bottom of the roof and into insulation in a rain gutter. Did you know all the way around the roof, at the bottom of the roof of the Superdome, is a gutter? I never knew that until yesterday.
Okay.
There's a gutter that's at the bottom of the roof that goes all the way around the Superdome. Now that came in handy when the Saints teams weren't good. they were playing like gutter rats for a long time. But I did not know that until yesterday, that all the way around the Superdome at the bottom of the roof, there's a gutter. And smoke and fire could be seen coming from the rooftop. Social media started, and like you said, a couple of jokes, Coleman. I saw a few, but some people were saying, my God, I thought 2021 was going to be better than 2020.
Now, it blew my theory out the way. I thought they was just having a great time on the roof of the Superdome.
Smoke weed every day.
After that depressing loss that New Orleans had against Carolina.
Yeah, you know, and as great as some of those Saints teams were, you know, the one that won the Super Bowl and the other Drew Brees Saints teams that had really great seasons, you know, as hot as they were never that hot. They never set the building on fire. And I heard a few people cranking that song yesterday. The roof was on fire.
It's a shame because the pressure washer is the reason that it caught on fire, so they couldn't use the water from the pressure washer to put itself out.
But I was luckily not that much damage. A part of the roof was burnt, and they said that they can take care of that, and no events that are upcoming at the Superdome. I mean, mostly no Saints game, because not this Sunday, but next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend. The Saints are supposed to play the really bad New York Giants in there. And that looks like it's going to happen as it's supposed to. But luckily there was only one person injured. One person did get some burns. He was taken to a hospital and treated. But that's something. When they were cleaning the roof, using a pressure washer, and that piece of equipment. A piece of power pressure washing equipment caught fire. And that's why there was that scene yesterday on the roof of the Superdome.
Do you think that's a bad omen for how the rest of the Saints season is going to go this year? Like some people on social media were saying, it's a sign from God about how the Saints season is going to go.
I hope not. You know, the thing about the Saints, they were so good in week one, but in week two, they were every bit as bad as they were good in week one. There was no middle of the road. There was no, well, you know, if one thing went this way or another play went this way, there was nothing like that. They absolutely demolished the Green Bay Packers in week one, and they were absolutely demolished in week two.
But you know what, John? Even though I saw that loss to Carolina, I still picked New Orleans this week in our King of the Bayou football challenge.
You know, our King of the Bayou is starting, and tomorrow night is game one. Our King of the Bayou started 2 weeks late this year because of Hurricane Ida. But the grand prize winner is going to win $6,000 worth of prizes.
That's a lot.
Including a diamond ring, a 65-inch high-definition television, an autographed Drew Brees Saints jersey, and an autographed Drew Brees football. And weekly winners, whoever picks the most right NFL games that particular week, which starts this week,
right?
They will win $50 worth of groceries at Zappardo's Family Market.
Ka-ching.
If you're listening, you should sign up.
Yeah, you have until Thursday night to sign up before the first game starts to sign up and pick your games.
Yeah, the first game is tomorrow night. The prizes we have this year are fantastic. And all you got to do is go to our website, bayou957.com, And you'll see right there, I'm dressed like Elvis. I know I look like a fool, but click on that. It's free. It don't cost nothing, and it only takes a minute to sign up and do your picks. There's no point spread. Perhaps you could be king of the bayou this year and win $6,000 worth of really cool prizes.
And picking this morning when I picked my games, it was still kind of difficult because we still don't know enough about the entire league and how they play. It's like later in the season, once you start noticing the patterns of who's good and who isn't, but it gets a lot easier. But right now, like, I was struggling trying to figure out, well, who's going to win in this game, who's going to win in that game. But that makes it all the more fun.
But that's the one advantage of starting 2 weeks late this year, starting our King of the Bayou 2 weeks late. At least we've gotten a chance to see the teams perform for 2 weeks. But with the Saints, you have no idea which Saints team is going to show up on Sunday.
That's why it was so difficult. But I went with New Orleans. I went with New Orleans.
They're in New England.
Yep.
And it looks like their quarterback, out of all the rookie quarterbacks, Mac Jones from Alabama is the best rookie quarterback. Well, he has been after the first 2 weeks.
Roy says, I got my wins picked, and I picked the Saints over the Patriots as well, Coleman. Good job, Roy. We're going to see what happens, though.
Yeah, so our King of the Bayou is starting. Game one is tomorrow night. So when you get a second, get a minute, go to our website, sign up, great weekly prizes, and then the grand prize winner at the end of the year, $6,000 worth of really cool prizes. Go sign up on our website, King of the Bayou, at Bayou957.com. Bayou95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bands obviously spend a lot of money to record an album. So if there is ever a mistake made by one of the musicians, they will quickly get rid of it and correct it. But not on the song Creep by Radiohead. They made a mistake. One of the guitar players in Radiohead made a mistake while they were recording that song. But the mistake was so cool that they left it in, and it became one of the most popular parts of the song. Right before the chorus, you hear the guitar go, gah-gah. And then it does it a couple of more times. Gagat. Gagat. And they liked it so much, they kept it in there. And again, it's one of the most, it's one of the parts of the song, if not the part of the song that stands out the most here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. Kiss there. Yesterday I saw someone post something on Facebook. It was from a college in 1974. And it said, this weekend, come see Blue Oyster Cult with opening bands Kiss and Rush. Think about that for a second. Not 1974. I mean, obviously, Kiss and Rush were very new. But they were opening for Blue Oyster Cult, the cowbell band. Got to have more cowbell. And in just a couple of years, a few years, both of those bands became much bigger than the band that they were opening for on that college campus.
You think Blue Oyster Cult feels kind of slighted that they're known as the cowbell band? Because that's how you recognize them. You know, it's not like other bands, like, yeah, you know, Angus from AC/DC or Slash. You know, they're known for their band members and their antics. They're known for the cowbell sketch.
I saw an interview with one of the guys from Blue Oyster Cult about that, Coleman. He said that night, When Saturday Night Live aired that sketch, he said he was home and he got a phone call. He wasn't watching the show. And he got a phone call from a friend. And he said, hey, put on Saturday Night Live real quick. They're doing something and they're playing your song. And he saw like the second half of the bit. And he said he was bothered at first. He said, you know, nobody told us they were, you know, we wrote that song and I didn't know that they were going to be joking about it on SNL. And he said, but as time went on, he said he didn't have a problem with it because it was nice to be known for something.
Ah.
it was nice that his band was, you know, something that they did became really popular for a while. In the gotta have more cowbell sketch.
So do you think if it wasn't for that cowbell sketch, we probably wouldn't be talking about Blue Oyster Cult today? They weren't that kind of band with a legacy and popularity that was so massive.
Blue Oyster Cult had a few hits, but they were never huge. They were never. I mean, they were a big rock band, but they were never huge. And I just got a kick out of how I saw that yesterday, how Kiss and Rush were the two opening bands in 1974 on a college campus for a Blue Oyster Cult show.
But they should thank Will Ferrell and Christopher Walken for giving them some sort of relevance and relativity in the world.
That band is from New York. They're from Long Island, Blue Oyster Cult. So... it's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Good morning. The NCAA had been saying for years and years that if college football players and college athletes get paid money, it's going to be the end of college football and college basketball being popular. That's what they were saying for years and years. And it's proving out that that was wrong. Because, you know, now this is the first year where college football players and college basketball players, they're being paid cash for what's called name, image, and licensing, NIL. That's how they get paid. As a matter of fact, the quarterback for Alabama has already made almost $1 million. And we're seeing that with different college players. Obviously, the quarterbacks and a really good tailback, they're going to make the money. The linemen aren't going to make any money. But it's all due to a recent ruling when it came to name, image, and licensing. I mean, this past Saturday, for instance, there was great college football on television. And the ratings were fantastic. University of Florida almost beat Alabama. They almost beat Nick Saban in Alabama, but Alabama beat them on Saturday afternoon. But 7.9 million people tuned in to that game on CBS.
That was more than the VMAs.
There wasn't even 1 million people who watched the MTV Video Music Awards this year. Not even 1 million. But across the country, 7.9 million people watched the CBS broadcast of the Florida Gators almost beating the Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday afternoon. And that's 10% more people than their 2019 average.
Who thinks that
on CBS? But that shows you that the NCAA, you know, they were saying the sky is falling if this NIL, the name and image licensing, if these guys start getting paid. But it's just not the case.
But who thinks that way though? Who says, oh no, I'm not going to watch college football anymore because these athletes are getting paid now for their name and image? Like who says I'm going to turn a channel now that they're getting paid? Who does that? Nobody.
The NCAA said that would happen once college athletes started getting paid.
Yeah, I don't see how they connected those dots.
But that game got a big rating. the game on Saturday night between Auburn and Penn State that got a really big rating. And they've had a few other really, really huge rated games in college football at the beginning of the season. So that's just not happening. And quickly, in the NFL, you know, New Orleans natives Peyton and Eli Manning, they are on ESPN2 every Monday night for Monday Night Football. ESPN airs Monday Night Football, but ESPN2, they're airing it now, but they got the Manning brothers that are sitting there and they're talking about the game as you're watching it, and their ratings went up a lot from week one to week two. People are enjoying watching the Manning brothers. Their ratings went up 132% from week one to week two with them doing that. Hey, coming up next, what do you think the filthiest place in your bathroom is? I'm going to tell you next, and it's not where you think it is. Text us if you want. Make it quick, one or two sentences. Where do you think the filthiest spot in your bathroom is? Text us, 504-260-9595. We will tell you next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. I asked you a few minutes ago if you knew where the filthiest spot in your bathroom is. And I asked you to text us. And Coleman, what are you seeing over there?
All right. So Jason the Barber says it's the bath, which is weird because it says Jason the Barber, but then it says Matt. Smokey says the medicine cabinet.
Those are good guesses.
They are.
I mean, I would have thought the toilet. But
well, somebody texts behind the toilet.
Behind the toilet.
Yeah, that's pretty filthy behind the toilet. This next text says definitely the nozzles on your sink.
Good guess, but that's not right either. I like the way you think though. You're thinking outside of the toilet.
This one says the filthiest place in the bathroom is your toothbrush holder. Is it?
It's not the toothbrush holder.
Oh, I thought that. All right, that's what I would assume. All right, this text says, as a plumber, I've always been taught that the nastiest thing in your bathroom is the toilet paper roll and your toothbrush if you don't put it away. When you flush the toilet, a plume of bacteria lands on the toilet paper roll and your toothbrush.
Yuck. No, that's not it.
Oh, man. Okay. A few more. This text says, the filthiest place in the bathroom is inside the drain. How about inside the drain? Do we have anything for inside the drain?
Not inside the drain.
What about the rim of the toilet?
No, it's not the toilet or any part of the toilet or behind the toilet.
Oh, man.
I mean, last night, for instance, I would have guaranteed when I left the bathroom that the toilet was the dirtiest, was the filthiest spot in the bathroom.
But Jordan says the door handle.
It's not the door handle. Good. I like the guesses though. I love that that there's so many different spots in a bathroom that could be filthy.
All right. Kevin Jeffrey says the shower drain.
It's not the shower drain.
Here's an interesting test. The cleanest part in your bathroom is the toilet seat because of antibacteria.
Yeah, you know, the toilet isn't the filthiest spot in the bathroom because we clean it so much.
The light switch?
A good guess, but no.
The mirror?
No, the mirror's not the filthiest spot in your bathroom.
The carpet?
How many bathrooms have carpet in there?
Some do. Some, like my bathroom where the sink and the stuff is, it's a two-part bathroom. Where the toilet and the bathroom is at is tile, but then there's another room where I brush my teeth and all that. That's, that has a carpet. So I do have carpet in one part of my bathroom. This one says the whole state of Louisiana. All right. I think we've, yeah, everybody's, not the floor, the mirror. Yeah, everybody's starting to say the same thing now. So, John, will you enlighten us and let us know? I'm guessing it's a study done, right? It's not just you telling us this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a study. Based on the study that you're looking at, what have they determined is the filthiest part of the bathroom?
A new study, Coleman, has determined that the filthiest spot in your bathroom is the towel rack.
Ew! The towel rack. Now, the...
It's a place that's rarely cleaned, and damp towels are an ideal breeding ground for harmful microorgasms and bacteria.
Orgasms? Orgasms are good, right?
I'm sorry, microorganisms.
Oh, I was about to say, what's wrong with microorgasms?
It's the towel rack.
Huh. Now I want to know, is it the decorative towel rack? You know, you go to some women's bathroom, they just have towels just sitting on like the little pole thing on the side of the wall, or is it like the towel rack with the usual towels where you can pick a towel up and use it to dry off after you take a shower?
I'm thinking it's the latter of what you just said. Huh. I mean, how many towel racks do you have in your bathroom?
Well, I have two decorative towel racks where I just have towels that just sit there for decoration, and I have a real towel rack with the usable towels that I can use when I dry myself off when I come out the shower.
When is the last time you cleaned the towel rack?
Which one?
I mean, I'm sure the one where you put your towel after you dry off after you take a shower.
Oh, I have a hamper where I throw the used towels at. It's like a little hamper thing. So after I dry off and use the towel, but the actual towel rack itself, I can see it sitting there collecting dust because, you know, the towels are just folded on top of the rack and I can see it collecting dust. But you might be right. Maybe when I come out the shower, the steam and all the water from the atmosphere can absorb in the towels. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, because when people scrub their bathrooms, which most of us do, they rarely scrub the tile rack. They'll scrub the toilet, they'll scrub the sink, they'll scrub the shower, the floor of the shower, around the drains and stuff. But people rarely scrub the towel rack when they scrub their bathroom. If you're listening, is that true? Or do you scrub your tile rack, your towel rack?
I think a lot of people are going to start. If they didn't do it before this segment, they're going to start doing it now. They're going to start scrubbing the towel racks.
Yeah, when you clean your bathroom, when you scrub your bathroom, I bet you don't scrub your towel rack. You could text us and let us know. 504-260-9595. And always please keep it short, just one or two sentences. A new study has revealed this.
I learned something today.
Again, the problem is twofold.
Would you fold your towels twice?
No. One, researchers say that towel racks are rarely cleaned when people scrub their bathrooms. But they should be because damp towels are an ideal breeding ground for those harmful microorganisms and bacteria. And two, towel racks and bathroom radiators attract dust, grime, mold, and mildew, which isn't just filthy. It can lead to irritated skin and even sickness. It could lead to illness, different illnesses. Scientists say you should clean your towel rack 3 times a month.
That's not that bad.
Or just make it easy once a week.
There you go.
So how about that?
The more you know.
It's hard to imagine a towel rack being filthier than a toilet, especially after you just dropped a deuce. But it is.
Yeah, you're right, but.
So anyways, that's the filthiest spot in bathrooms, because people just they're so focused on cleaning the toilet and cleaning the shower that they usually don't clean the towel rack. So make sure the next time you scrub, you clean your bathroom, make sure you scrub the towel rack as well. Hey, coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and hang out with us. We still got a lot to get to on the show on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So today is the first day of fall. Or do you call it autumn? Coleman, what do you call it?
Fall.
Yeah, I call it fall too. And what's cool around New Orleans is the temperature. That's what's cool. Yesterday, it was hot and humid as hell, like it normally is the summertime here in New Orleans. But it's amazing how you change just one day, and it happens to be the first day of fall, and today the temperatures are going to be cool. And they say a cold front is coming in. And so the weather, at least this year, knew when summer ended and when fall began. So make like Humpty Dumpty today and have a great fall. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this is something that these two guys would have never been arrested for if it wasn't for the damn pandemic. Wait till you hear what these two guys got arrested for. That's next. The dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. here with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Two men arrested for illegal smuggling of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay.
Well, this is something that would not have happened before the pandemic. The pandemic is the reason why this happened. A trunk full of contraband KFC landed two men in hot water thanks to COVID-19 lockdown rules that would make Colonel Sanders cringe. This happened in New Zealand, Coleman. Two men were arrested after trying to enter the city of Auckland, New Zealand, where restaurants are closed. The two men were trying to enter the city with Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Chicken!
Upon seeing the police car, the vehicle did a U-turn and sped off, trying to evade police. It must be like when some people see a DUI checkpoint. You know, when you're pulling up, and then some people will say, you know what, I'm gonna bail out of here and do a U-turn before they get there. But what that usually does is it makes the people doing the DUI checkpoint pay even more attention.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
If you do that. So that's what happened in this case. when the police car saw this car make a U-turn, the police car said, that car must be up to no good because it didn't want to see me.
Yeah, which so far is the dumbest part of the story, making the U-turn.
So they pulled over, the police there pulled over the vehicle. They searched the vehicle. Police located some cash alongside empty bags and a large to-go order. And the to-go order was from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Chicken!
The two men drove 75 miles from Hamilton, New Zealand, to Auckland, New Zealand. Because remember, all the restaurants in Auckland are closed.
Yeah.
Even takeout restaurants are closed in Auckland. They have Auckland, New Zealand right now has some of, if not the worst, toughest COVID rules on the planet. So these guys drove 75 miles to get Kentucky Fried Chicken. And when they turned around and came back, they got a bunch of it because I guess they wanted some for when they got home. That's where they saw the police car. They tried to evade the police car. And the police car noticed that, pulled them over, and caught them with KFC.
Now, you think the police would have pulled them over just because, or let's say they didn't get anything to eat. They were just outside. Was that enough to make it illegal since the lockdown protocols are so stringent in New Zealand? You think that's what it
was?
No,
I don't think so. No, because that's not what they got arrested for. They got arrested for bringing Kentucky Fried Chicken into Auckland when all the restaurants are closed at the moment.
I think that's a dumb part on the city, not the people. Just because the restaurants are closed in one part of the country, that traveling with the Kentucky Fried Chicken, I failed to see how that spreads the virus. If they were going home with the chicken, unless they had intent to sell the chicken to other people, if they were just going home to the chicken, who cares whether the restaurants were closed at one part because they didn't go to the restaurant at the part that was closed. They went to the part that was open. So why is it bad that they got chicken from the part that was open?
Maybe they were thinking that Kentucky Fried Chicken that was 75 miles away, they could have caught coronavirus from someone there and then brought it back into Auckland.
That does sound dumb. You're absolutely correct. This is by far the dumbest thing that we're talking about today.
The men had at least 3 buckets of chicken, 10 cups of coleslaw, french fries, and 4 other bags of KFC items. It remains unknown if the two men intended to sell the KFC items when they got back to Auckland, or they were just really hungry. Under New Zealand's anti-COVID laws, the pair's trip to KFC could cost them the equivalent of about $3,000 in cash and possibly a 6-month prison sentence. Could you imagine if the judge was in a bad mood the day that these guys stand before him and puts them in jail for 6 months for just driving 75 miles to get KFC and bring it back to Auckland?
I don't even think it matters whether the judge is in a bad mood or not. Just the whole situation is dumb. Just getting KFC from another part of town because your part of town doesn't have an open KFC, that's already stupid.
Yeah, this was so dumb, it gave me a headache. Well, the two men who were arrested for illegal smuggling of Kentucky Fried Chicken because of COVID. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Dumb, 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 dumb. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.